This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Friday, March 25th, 2022. The Annunciation of the Lord by Father William Doc Holliday.
Hail Mary, full of grace.
Words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
These are the first words of the Annunciation, the Archangel Gabriel to the Blessed Virgin Mother, about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hail Mary, full of grace. This is the Annunciation, the fulfillment of the Annunciation, because it is not the first time that God has announced the coming of a Savior. That happened in Genesis, immediately after the fall of our first parents, Adam and Eve. God said, I will bring enmity between your seed and the seed of the woman. He shall crush your head, you shall bruise his heel. This is the first Annunciation, that announcement that something was in God's plan that was going to save people from the condition in which our first parents placed us. When we hear the Hail Mary, that is when God brings it to fulfillment. There is no mistake. This is the Incarnation. This is the time when God clothes himself with flesh and comes and dwells among us. That whole concept, we speak of the mysteries of faith, Trinity, the Eucharist, how that works out, we don't know, we can't explain it. But this mystery of the Incarnation far surpasses any of the other mysteries. How can God leave heaven and become a person? How can Jesus of Nazareth be not half God and half man or some kind of mixture of both? But how can he be 100% God and 100% man? Our finite minds cannot comprehend it. Our finite minds just, when you're confronted with that truth, you go, that can't be. What did the gospel say? With God, nothing is impossible. Even taking on flesh and coming and dwelling among us. The Creator becoming part of the creation, the one who is timeless, binding himself to time, entering into our history. This is the Incarnation, a true mystery of faith. I would submit the mystery of the faith. Kind of hard to get your head around, but there are analogies that help us. St. Augustine, this is why he's St. Augustine, because he comes up with things that make people, even as dull as I am, be able to kind of comprehend a little bit about how things like this happen. And as you hear his explanation, always remember that our Lord Jesus Christ, in this, and the Word was made flesh. It's kind of interesting that it does it. And his Son became flesh and dwelt among us. No, because that would be a disassociation between the oneness of the Blessed Trinity. It's not just his Son, because Jesus was his Son, but he was his Word. And this Word came and dwelt among us. This is where St. Augustine goes with, you know, the whole concept of words. We get that. St. Augustine says this. He says, speech is a sort of incarnation. At first, a word is conceived as a mere thought, something that is purely spiritual. If the thought is to be conveyed to another, it's put into words. So the Word of God has appeared to many and ceases not to remain with the Father. So this whole concept of Jesus leaving heaven and coming down, well, that's a separation of the Trinity right there, because the Son's no longer up there. The Son is always with the Father, because the Son is the living Word of the Father, that Logos of which we hear. This is how God can leave heaven and dwell among us. And it really, when you think of this analogy, it's not really hard to at least get a basic understanding of the concept. It's an analogy of speech. If you love someone, the first time two people who've met each other and they're falling in love, but the first time one says to the other, I love you. That's a huge leap if you truly mean it, if you know the profound nature of love. You sit back and you think, I think I love this person. But it's just your thought. It is just your conception of it. And if you don't say anything about it, you can sit around and love them for all day long, but they don't know about it. What do? We want to communicate ourselves to that person, our love for them, and we say, I love you. This is exactly what God did in the incarnation. He wanted to let us know how much he loved us by sending his word. He could have just said, I love you, but that's just so many words. But when he sends his son and that his son endures what he did for us, then it's a whole lot more pointed than if God just from on high, the thunderous voice with clouds and lightnings and all this smoke and stuff like that. If he just said, I love you all. No, this proves that he loved us. This is St. Augustine. Why he's St. Augustine? This is his analogy that gives us sort of an understanding of the whole incarnation thing. So at the annunciation of this incarnation that St. Gabriel the Archangel explains to the Blessed Virgin Mother, he explains, just as I sat there and explained, but there's always something that, again, we're talking about something that is eternal and infinite, and we are not, so we're only going to be able to understand it so far. Just like our Blessed Mother. How can this be when I know not a man? If you notice, the Archangel doesn't get into this big detailed description. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. What does that mean? You've got to listen, take it at face value, and just in faith embrace it, as she did. This is what we need to do about this incarnate word who has come and dwelt among us. We have this tendency to want to dwell tremendously into things that are none of our business. I'm God and you're not. Just sit back and enjoy what I've done for you. Don't try to explain it to everyone. This is the incarnation. This is what is announced by St. Gabriel. But when we look at the incarnation, we also have to appreciate the fact that we need to comprehend why the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And it's really kind of interesting to see who God sent for the Annunciation. You know, God doesn't do things by accident. God has a distinct plan and he wants to communicate something, not only in what he says, but how he says it. We pay attention to when you're reading the scriptures. Pay a whole lot of attention to how he does things, not just what he says about them. When he said, notice he didn't, St. Michael has done this, and St. Raphael has done this. Okay, Gabriel, it's your turn. You can go down and talk to the Blessed Virgin. No, there's a specific reason why he sent Gabriel. Just in the names of the angels, St. Michael, who is like God. How about a title like that? You know, if your name's Michael, be impressed. That's what it means. Who is like God? This is why we understand that St. Michael the Archangel is the overseer and the protector of the people of God. In ancient Israel, it was the people of God chosen out of Egypt. It's the church, according to St. Paul, the true Israel of God. This is why St. Michael the Archangel is the one who oversees us, because he is like God. He oversees us. He's like the supervisor of all things. Even when there's consternation among angels, and there is occasionally, different subject for a different day, every now and then, because angels are not omniscient, they don't know everything, and they only know what they have to do. And every now and then, there's a little bit of a rub between the angels. So Michael steps in when that goes on, and he sets everything straight. Raphael, the healer of God, from the book of Tobit, we see that he is not only the healer physically, but Tobias goes blind, and Raphael cures him of his physical blindness. We never lose sight of the fact that Raphael also cured Tobit's wife to be of a spiritual malady, a curse that had been placed upon her that cost the lives of several men on their wedding night. Raphael cures this. So Raphael is the one who is the healer of God. Gabriel, the one who comes to the Blessed Virgin. He is the man of God. This literally, the Hebrew, man of God. Don't lose sight of the fact of what that entails. Sort of in English, colloquialism. If we look at somebody and we want them to strengthen themselves, buck up, so to speak, what do we say? Man up. To be a man is to manifest the strength. Gabriel, man of God, the strength of God. There are a lot of translations. That's how his name is read, the strength of God. Because when you get down to brass tacks, that is actually what is being communicated here. He is the strength of God. St. Gabriel is the archangel that presides over conflicts, temporal conflicts and spiritual conflicts. We see from the book of Daniel, Daniel has visions. He doesn't understand them. Gabriel steps in and explains things to his understanding. And there are other times when there are temporal conflicts where he steps in also as a protector. This man of God, the strength of God, this is you go and communicate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, because what was Jesus Christ's ministry here? And this is where we've got to understand that we have to have a proper orientation of understanding our faith. You ask most Catholics, Jesus came down because he loved everybody. He wanted to show everybody how much he loved them. He wanted to die for their sins. That is an ancillary consequence of what Jesus did. Jesus Christ became incarnate to wage a merciless, ferocious war against Satan, to combat Satan, demons, and wicked men in this world. That's why he came. That's why God would send Gabriel, the strength of God, to communicate what's going to happen. Our Lord's ministry in this world, and he did overcome Satan. He fought a literally bloody to the death battle against Satan, and he vanquished him. This is why our Lord came. Now, because we know he did that, we can take great joy in understanding that he has done that for us. You take great joy in a person that has to fight for you. Okay, you can get excited about a person who is going to vanquish your enemy and also give you graces to do your own fighting. Because the strength of God announced the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who won the victory over Satan, and now it's up to the church militant. And that's what it is. We don't use that term anymore. Yes, we do. A lot of people don't. This is the church militant. It is confrontational. There is not a general in history that has ever won a war by dialoguing with his enemy. He's got to vanquish them and overcome them. Yeah, you can dialogue and everything, and then you have a treaty that's 50-50, you know, we didn't win, you didn't win. We're not supposed to dialogue with them. We're supposed to confront them. We are supposed to push back the darkness that's in the church, and we are supposed to advance the light of the church into that world of darkness. We are to save souls. You know, when we have a baptism, oh, look at the baby, so cute. You know, welcome to the family. Wrong. Look, Satan, we're wrestling this soul from your grasp. That's what we do here, Satan. Your confirmation, you get the little slap on the cheek, the fighting. This is what this Archangel Gabriel announced. This is what's going to happen. Jesus is going to come. He's going to win the battle, but the war's not over. That is your part. This is the reality of what we do here. When we appreciate that, then we can understand, particularly if we know our faith, even in a cursory manner, the things the way they are now are supposed to be the way they are now. Current events, oh, we need to pray for peace. We need to do this for peace. We need to... Our Lord Jesus Christ says, you are going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Fear not, because these things must take place. Just like famines and plagues. Do we pray about them when they happen? Yes. But just because you have a dramatic on TV war going on in one place, that doesn't discount that there are wars going on in South America, Africa, Asia, where people are dying. They're no more dead than a Ukrainian person or a Russian person. Dead is dead. War is war. This is a sin, cursed, and fallen world. It's always going to be here. The peace that we pray for is that peace which passes all understanding, to give us solace to endure living in a place that is so dark. This is what we need to be praying for. And we need to be praying for it the way our Lord teaches us and tells us when he tells us and teaches us to pray. Not our whim and will, and not how we want to pray. This is fighting. This is advancing. This is being a member of the church militant. You know, it's kind of interesting, all this martial speak here, all this talk about military stuff and war stuff and battle and spiritual warfare. When our Lord is born, when this Annunciation comes to its fulfillment in Bethlehem, because our Lord was incarnate not in Bethlehem, at the Annunciation. That's why it's the titular feast day of this parish. That's why if you are fulfilling all the common requisites today, because you're here, you will receive a plenary indulgence because it's our titular feast day, not only the solemnity. But we should take great joy in the fact that we're part of the church militant. When our Lord Jesus Christ, that merciless warrior who came down and vanquished Satan when he was born, the angels, "Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy." Well, that sounds kind of contradictory. Great joy, but he's going to be involved in this merciless battle. What soldier on the front line who's running out of ammunition and doesn't have any food and hasn't had any for days looks for joy when more ammunition is dropped to him? It's great joy that you're receiving ammunition to fight your enemies. Well, these are the graces that our Lord gives us. Our Lord's presence was great joy. All the graces that he gives us are great joy to fight for him. This is what we should be praying for. That our Blessed Mother intercede for us in order that we can overcome the enemy as her Son did. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.